Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 97.5 on the FM dial, 660 on the AM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruz. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday's my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, nefarious character, maybe a wonderful repeat offender that we all love to listen to. Friday is all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks. Give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. You can reach us at 458-TALK, 458-8255, and today is a special day. It's a Wednesday. It's with Joni Skillbred. She's with me every month since the day I started this. She's been here with me once a month to talk about Fairbanks history, and she's incredible. And today, we are talking about early breweries in Fairbanks, and with that, we're going to have a beer. I'm going to open up the beer.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. And the first beer we're going to have, I'll pour in a Hoodoo Brewing beer glass.
A little bit for me, not a lot.
You will have whatever I give you, and you'll like it, woman. And Fairbanks, she's very good with a shotgun, so you might hear some repercussions of my attitude here. Okay, here's your little bit of beer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, we do some of the most unique things. And it's always, you know, mainly about Fairbanks or Alaska, the interior region. How's your beer?
My beer is good.
Okay, it's cold. It's a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I went with that because I had three of them in the refrigerator. It's all the beer I had. I did not want to go and get a local beer and, you know, have other local breweries mad at us. So we're being neutral.
Yes.
You don't like an IPA, either do I.
No, I'm not. I don't care for those.
Yeah, so.
Too bitter.
So, but Fairbanks has always had beer, one way or another.
Oh, yes. Yes. But if you think about Fairbanks in the early days to have beer here is was quite a challenge because beer is a liquid product.
We're having an issue with your. Could you.
Am I not on?
Yeah, let's. Okay, try it again.
Am I on?
Barely. Try that one there. Try that one there.
This one?
Yeah.
How's that? Is that better?
I'm having an issue with you.
Oh.
Go ahead.
You're drinking while running the board.
I haven't even had a sip yet. You know, and okay, let's.
Well.
Okay, now try it. Go ahead.
Okay, how's that?
No, we're still. I can hear you, but we're not getting you a very good mic sound on here. So, we'll continue. You know, okay. Speaking to both mics.
So, Fairbanks was a place you had liquid. You have a liquid product. And to have that here is, you know, to import it via boats, it had to come in by barrels. And it was very expensive to transport it. And beer does have a shelf life. You know, it didn't come in the fancy aluminum cans.
Yes, it does have a shelf life.
Yes. So, do you want me to use that one? Okay. So, it came in
it came in barrels rather than the cans. And so to produce a locally made product is more desirable, but you have to have a person that knows how to produce the beer. That's important. So that's where the breweries come in. And we had several here. The first one that formed, according to the early records, these are articles of incorporation that were filed, was the Tanana Brewing Company. And it was incorporated in January 25th, 1905, and it ended in August of 1906.
So much for the long history of that one. But you know, we basically got started here, what, 1902, 1903, and they immediately got beer going.
Yes. Well, the Tanana Brewing Company, I didn't see that they, I didn't find a product that they actually had produced where it was advertised. They were incorporated, but that doesn't mean that they came into production. So the next one to incorporate, incorporated December 5th, 1905, and that brewery ran till 1919, and that was the Barthel Brewery.
That one has, you know, from everything you gave me, that has some neat history.
Yes,
that,
it does.
That's a fun one.
Yes, we'll go back and talk about that here in a minute.
Hold it. I'm finally having some beer.
Okay,
Fairbanks,
here we go.
Getting this thing going, and I can finally have a sip of beer. And I had to re-engineer this whole setup for us, and I think I did a pretty good job on
it's working.
Joni.
It's working.
God.
Yes. So
okay, here's my beer. Sip of beer.
Barthel's Brewery produced Northern Lights beer, also known as BBC, for Barthel Brewing Company.
Not the British Broadcasting Center.
Yes. Then next we had the Fairbanks Brewing Company, also known as the Fairbanks Beverage Company. And they were around from 1907 to 1908, and they produced the brand. It was known as Greenland's Beer, and it was named after their brewmaster, Billy Greenland. After that comes the Arctic Brewing Company, and they were around from 1909 to 1909. And they were formed out of the Fairbanks Brewing Company. And the Arctic Brewing Company's brand was Bock Beer. And in the end, Herman Barthel ended up owning all of it. You know, he put his competitors out of business. And we'll get into how that happened. After that came Prohibition in the United States from 1920 to 1933. However, we had a different version of it here in Alaska, and we called it the Bone Dry Law, and it began January 1st, 1918, and it ended on April 11th, 1933. After that, the first brewery coming out of Prohibition was the Fairbanks Brewing Association, and they produced Gold Belt beer from 1934 until 1935. Then the Pioneer Brewing Company produced Midnight Sun Beer, and that was 1934 to 1937. Also was the Tanana Bottling Company, which was incorporated August 27th, 1906, ended in 1907, but they were a soda producer, not a brewer. And they were formed out of that original Tanana Brewing Company. So obviously they couldn't get a product made, and they went to producing soda. The other soda producer was the Fairbanks Beverage Company, which was incorporated in February of 1918, right after Prohibition started.
Fairbanks, with that, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to hear some non-beer commercials.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Abby was released from prison after serving time for a minor crime. She was dropped in a parking lot near a soup kitchen in Anchorage, and instantly she was homeless. Without food, phone, or money, she made it to Fairbanks, only to find her family network was no longer in place. Rather than couch surf, risking victimization by men who prey on homeless women trapped by the cold, she made the decision to spend the winter in a tent. By February, worn down by the intolerable cold and moisture in the tiny space, she contracted pneumonia. Burning with fever, Abby made it to the rescue mission. She met a young woman there who told her about the love of Jesus, then showed that love by spending the night at the ER as Abby's condition stabilized. Abby returned to the mission and her life was saved. Without you, there is no mission. And Abby's story ends in the tiny dark tent. Please donate today at FairbanksRescueMission.org. That's FairbanksRescueMission.org.
You try it now?
Have you ever tried to drink honey through a straw?
Now.
When it gets cold, and it will, the oil in your vehicle is about the same thickness as honey, with your oil pump trying to get that thick goop up to the top of your cold engine. This causes friction and wear on engine parts. A complete winterization like the one offered at Expressway Auto will heat that engine oil, making it flow. For only $550, you get a complete winterization that includes a block heater, transmission pan heater, battery and oil pan heater, all connected with a freeze-proof Arctic-grade core. Get your car or diesel truck ready for winter at Expressway Auto. Call 1-888-659-0631 today and beat the winter rush.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Look for a slight chance of snow and freezing rain this afternoon, then partly sunny with a high near 23 degrees today. Snow is likely tonight, mainly after midnight, lows around 13 degrees. As we look at tomorrow for Thanksgiving, snow likely mainly before noon, mostly cloudy with highs near 19 above, lows tomorrow night around 2 below, and Black Friday calling for partly sunny with a high near 11. And that's your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here, and we're going to see how we're doing here. Joni, you want to give her a test mic?
I'm sure.
Okay, we are good to go. It's working.
Yes, there's some awesome staff here that comes running in during commercials.
Fairbanks, I am so fortunate with the people I work here with. I just walked outside the door and I looked at VMAX and I looked at Rock Candy and I said, I need help. And they came in here and they did an emergency review, pushed a lot of buttons, had you test a few things during the commercial. So that's what you heard. We got it fixed and happy Thanksgiving. Also, we have a couple people that we're going to dedicate to. You have the new Dennis.
Oh, Dennis, he's my delivery guy. He brings all my UPS and FedEx orders.
And he listens to every show.
Yes.
This is dedicated to you, new Dennis.
Yes.
So, anyway, we come out of Prohibition. Well, actually, and we had a couple more breweries that started up and stopped, but nothing really took place. Nothing really lasted after Prohibition.
No.
As a Fairbanks located brewery.
You know, the Alaska Railroad probably had a lot to do with that. Bringing beer up from the lower 48 was a lot more cost effective. And preservation methods were better. You could get it up here faster before it goes bad, you know, the whole bit. But
the neat ones was Bartels.
Well, they were the set the bar. And when they first were announced that they were going to put this brewery in, they built a four-story, huge brewery. Herman Barthel was born in Prussia. And
my grandfather's side is from Prussia.
Yes.
And that's a German, it used to be a German state, now it's part of Poland.
He grew up in the brewing industry.
After World War II, they said, no more of you Prussian military people in Germany. You're in Poland now.
Well, Hermann was a real German brewmaster. Yeah. And he wasn't the only one. His brother was a very well-known brewmaster down in the lower 48. They came over here around the same time, I guess. By the time Hermann set up the brewery in Fairbanks, he had been brewing beer for like 40 years.
Wow.
He was very experienced. And he was in Skagway prior to coming here. He ran into a challenge in Skagway because you can get imported beer
from the States into Skagway cheap, and it wasn't taxed. And he, as a producer, was being taxed making a locally made product.
Yeah.
By the territory. And he couldn't compete. So when Fairbanks was founded, you know, he thought, well, I can go make beer there and I can compete there because there's no way you're going to get outside produced beer to the interior of Fairbanks without incurring great costs.
Yeah, it's all on the steamship. You know, it's on right. Steam paddle wheeler.
And Herman was not just a guy that made beer. He was an artisan. I mean, he put his heart and his soul into his product.
You know, they bragged about the water. But let's go to the location of it first.
Yes.
Where was it located, Joni?
Well, the Barthel Brewery was located over by where the Tanana Chiefs building is and mm-hmm. Sheena Bingo over in that area there. And it was a huge building. He had an on-site cooper. He had a manager.
Four-story building.
Yeah, he had a manager. Reinhard Effinger was the name. It was his manager's name, a good German brewer name. Then they had the basements. They had the ice house. He had a fully, I mean, just like what you would find if you went to a major brewery in Germany, you would find this kind of a setup. And when he set it up, he wanted to make a really high quality product. He was a perfectionist.
It was not going to be anything else.
When the equipment arrived, it came via a steamer, and when it arrived here in town, the strainer was missing. And Herman, he had investors who were wanting their return on their money to start. And Herman, he said, no, he said, there's not going to be any beer made here until I have all of my equipment. And that strainer is a critical component of the equipment. So it delayed the production of the beer.
And he also rejected some of the early barley.
Yes, it wasn't up to his standards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is German-Prussian quality control, and we're not going to do it until it's done exactly the way I want to do it.
He was a master brewer.
Yeah.
He was not, you know,
Just getting this done and out, no.
Yeah, no. He was not in it for the money.
And then what got me was the amount that they would produce and keg.
Yes. And they were shipping it. He advertised, he valued advertising, mm-hmm. and he spent a lot of money on advertising because he wanted to compete with the best beers that were being imported from the lower 48. And
he wasn't going to compete. He was going to kick their butts.
They had the beer train, which, you know, was announced in the paper, the Tanana Valley Railroad. You know, they had the beer train hauling the beer out to the creeks, you know, and it was they knew that when their beer was coming, it was a very important product. And just like today, we have the mantra, local, 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 locally produced goods.
Yeah.
Well, they were doing that back then.
And they had no choice in many things, but this was such a high quality.
Yes, it was. So his first ad, Barthel's first ad, shows up September 30th, 1906. And it says, BBC Beer, the Barthel Brewing Company, the beer that is made in the Tanana, sold in the Tanana, drank in the Tanana, and every dollar spent for it stays in the Tanana.
Then what does it say?
Oh, it's the beer without a headache. Get as drunk as you like.
Yeah. Yeah. This is funnier heck. If you try it once, you'll drink no other. As good as the best and better that has the rest.
Yes.
You know, just, and then there's health and vigor in every drop.
Oh, yes. He felt that, Barthel really felt that beer was a healthy drink.
Yeah.
And that everybody should drink it.
Well, yeah, but you have to remember, in Europe, everyone drank beer because their water was contaminated. And they would brew the beer, which would basically boil it,
Yes.
They weren't really understanding. Beer was better for you back in the, you know.
It was a safe drink.
14, 15, 1600s, yes. And that's just, boom.
Well, so Barthel, one of his big selling points was the science behind his beer production, and his science revolved around the water. And they had the water analyzed and tested. And
wells,
you know,
were at 60 feet. Yeah, they had their own wells.
Yes.
They just didn't take it out of the Chena River.
Well, it was the water.
Yeah.
Now, might I remind you that the Chena River is an aquifer, that the river is actually wider than the actual river that you mm-hmm. see, and it flows just under the ground right there. And what was just upstream from the Barthel Brewery?
The slough.
The cemetery.
The cemetery. Oh! Oh! Oh!
So it really was the water.
there's one thing in here that says, be careful, don't drink slough water. You contract fever. Drink BBC bottled beer.
Oh, yes.
Order a case, 24 quarts from Barthel Brewing Company. Phone number 134. All it costs you is $7.50 for basically 24 quarts of beer. So
yeah.
These weren't 12-ounce. These were what, 16-ounce bottles?
Well, and he set up the home delivery system so that it would be delivered regularly to your home, just like your water.
Your milk.
Your milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah, they had the beer wagon that went around and delivered beer for a while until that got outlawed. But, yes.
Then there's a second brewery in, and there's a little bit of competition. And hence the ad wars start.
Yes. So this is in June of 1907, there's some competition starting to hit the market. And Barthel has to step up his advertising game. So there's this ad here, and it says, drink the beer that is not drugged. BBC beer.
Manufactured by Barthel Brewing Company of Fairbanks.
Yes. Now, he doesn't accuse anybody of drugging their beer. He just points out that his is not.
Ready for a quick phone call?
Oh, sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and we only got about a minute, so what do you have to say?
Good morning. Really quick. Is that the cemetery was upstream? Was that beer to die for?
Picking them up either.
Are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Here. Was that cemetery is upstream? Was that beer to die for?
Yes, it was. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. The beer that'll put you 6 feet under.
Yes.
Fairbanks, we are going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio with me. We're talking about breweries in Fairbanks. There's only a handful of them, but a very rich and deep history. And we'll be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
President Trump's attorneys are meeting with Republican state lawmakers in Pennsylvania today in what critics say is an effort to coax the legislature to ignore voters and select pro-Trump electors.
Pennsylvania's Senate Majority Leader and the state's House Majority Leader, both Republicans, wrote in a joint op-ed in October that the Pennsylvania General Assembly does not and will not have a hand in choosing the state's presidential electors or in deciding the outcome of the presidential election.
Fox's John Decker in Washington. New York City is stepping up its efforts to fight rising numbers of coronavirus cases, especially for tourists coming to the area.
Most travelers entering the state have to provide a negative test at arrival, then quarantine for 3 days, and then take another test before they can be quarantined free. The New York Sheriff's Office is beefing up enforcement at checkpoints, at bridges and tunnels leading into the city.
Fox's David Lee Miller. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska health officials say the first shipment of a COVID-19 vaccine could arrive in the state within a few weeks. The Anchorage Daily News reported early batches of the vaccine will be prioritized for essential workers in healthcare, assisted living, and emergency medical settings. Vaccines initially will be issued in limited quantities and likely will not be available to the general public until March or April. The state is still working on plans to distribute supplies after vaccines become broadly available. The mid-December timeline for Alaska arrival is based on announcements by drug companies working to produce coronavirus vaccines. The Trump administration is preparing to auction off oil drilling rights inside the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, but the degree to which the industry will participate is uncertain. Alaska's Energy Desk reports that the leases on the land in northeast Alaska could go on the block days before President-elect Joe Biden takes office. Supporters have celebrated the prospect of lease sales to create jobs and revenue. Opponents express concerns about impacts on ecosystems, indigenous people, and the climate. Some industry analysts believe uncertainty and risk could lead to limited interest in a lease sale within the next 2 months.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Drive through, pick up, whatever you choose, come and get it. It's A&W's cure for the same old chili cheese fries, Papa Burger, even sriracha cheese curds, white Wisconsin cheddar with a kick. A&W on Airport Way and University Avenue. The crispness that is in the air and the snow on the ground means it's time to turn the heat on inside. You don't have to do it reluctantly this year. Total Toyo can help you with their Toyo Tomy laser products. They're the most fuel-efficient, energy-saving oil heating systems available. That means more heat in your home and more money staying in your pocket. The Toyo Tomy uses up to 50% less fuel, so the heat can be on more efficiently and more economically. Call Total Toyo at 488-9179 or go to TotalToyo.com to make sure your heat is on.
Don't miss 50-50 Friday on KFAR. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m. sharp, we offer up amazing gift certificates from different local businesses. That's when they go on sale for half price. From incredible food offers to fantastic services, you'll get it for half price every Friday at 9 a.m. So don't miss out on this offer.
50-50 Friday brings you this great offer from Beaver Sports. It's time to get outdoors. In fact, right now, it's highly recommended. This $50 gift certificate from Beaver Sports can be yours for just $25. The timing is perfect with the holidays just ahead. The stunning winter landscapes are ready for you, and you don't want to miss a moment of it. Make sure you are ready for anything. Be on this station's website Friday morning at 9 a.m. for this great offer from Beaver Sports. Welcome to the great outdoors. Welcome to Beaver Sports.
This Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website at KFAR660.com. Simply click on the red 50-50 ticket in the upper right-hand corner and get your gift certificate for half price. That's 50-50 Friday at KFAR660.com.
Burgers, 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 Roosters Burgers. Voted best burger for a number of years. Take that first bite and you'll know why. The Char-Broiled Brewster Burger. The Bacon Burger with Hickory Smoked Bacon and Swiss Cheese. The Wicked Alaskan Burger. 2 half-pound patties stacked with cheddar. The Smoked Porter Burger. The Mushroom Swiss Burger. And the Delicious Jalapeno Burger. All burgers served with Brewster's signature fries. Come over to Brewster's and bring your appetite. That's Brewster's.
Great food, great Alaskan spirits. That's Brewster's.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Joni Skillbred. And you heard a commercial there about Brewster's. And if you listen to my Fairbanks Foodies radio program on Saturday evening from 5:30 to 6, we're having the Great Burger Throwdown. And a cheeseburger at Brewster's is involved in it, and you'll have three people give you a review of six burgers and the locations and the service and the winners of the throwdown. So that's Saturday evening from 5:30 to 6, Fairbanks Foodies. And now we talk about beer.
Yes. Well, when we left off, we were talking about Barthel's, and at the very end, we got into where Barthel's was starting to have some competition.
Yes, they were.
So Barthel's puts in an ad that says that their beer is not drugged.
Hold it. What am I doing?
Oh, you're popping the top.
That's right. Okay.
So
hold it. What am I doing? What am I doing?
One. He's pouring into
black spruce
glass.
Yes. That way, we're equal opportunity beer connoisseurs.
Yes. So Barthel said, we don't drug our beer.
I know. God.
And game on.
Yeah.
You know, game on. So the competition was the Fairbanks Brewing Company, and they put out Greenland's beer, which was brewed by Billy Greenland. And he was their brewmaster, and they put out in October of 1908 this big ad, and it says, "Don't drink beer that is shipped in when your home product is better. Use Fairbanks beer and be happy." It's the beer of purity and wholesomeness, the beer that made Fairbanks famous. This is Greenland's beer. Not sentiment, but intrinsic worth. And this is a big stab at Barthel's.
Yeah, no sentiment in the water.
"We don't ask you to drink our beer just to patronize a home industry." Ow. "Though that is worth some consideration, it is the goodness and purity of our Fairbanks lager beer to which we call your attention." And then there's this little thing in the middle, and you can hardly read it, and it says, "From Greenland's icy mountains is what the hymn books say, but Greenland's beer is the sourdough's drink all the Alaska way."
Oh, how poetic.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Then it says, "Our brewery is the best.
Yes.
We have just completed alterations and improvements, which gives us facilities for brewing the best beer on the market, and cordially solicit your trade. Fairbanks Brewing Company. Phone number 88.
Yes. And it finishes up with, "The bead on a glass of Greenland's beer is a sign of life and zest in product resultant from good brewing.
Try a glass of the best. Fairbanks Brewing Company. Family trade solicited."
I hope we're making people thirsty.
Yeah. You know, it's Thanksgiving.
So the Fairbanks Brewing Company, which produced Greenland's beer, it of course, you know, it went head-to-head with Barthel's. And
for a couple years, anyway.
It didn't work out so well. So bye-bye, Greenland's.
So Barthel's where was Greenland's located?
It was over between 2nd and 3rd Avenues and Grant and Lincoln Street.
Okay.
So
yeah. West side of town.
Downstream from the Aurora Energy Plant.
Downstream from the cemetery. No sentiment.
No, that was Barthel's.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No sentiment in that beer.
No.
Yeah.
No.
As our caller said, it was a beer to die for.
Yes. Barthel's, yes. So in early of 1909, the Fairbanks Brewing Company turned into the Arctic Brewing Company. They reorganized. And Billy Greenland left. He ended up in Denmark, of all places.
Okay.
He kind of skipped around to a few places, but then later on I found him mentioned in Denmark. So the Arctic Brewing Company put out a different brand, and it was called Bock Beer. And it was going head-to-head with Barthel's, and the advertising was really fun to read. And we have one here that is where they are on the same page, right across from each other, the ads. And one is for Barthel's, and one is for Bock. And they're both, these are some of my favorite beer ads.
And this is from the Fairbanks Daily News Miner on May 15th, 1909.
Yes.
Back then, we still had the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. And
yes.
they probably produced more than 4 pages like they do now.
So how about if you read Barthel's ad, and then I'll read Bock's ad.
Okay, Barthel's.
We're in competition now.
Okay. Oh, wow. "What did the governor of North Carolina..." He said, the governor to the South Carolina, "It's long between the drinks. Fall off the water wagon. Drink Barthel's beer. Barthel's beer is beer. Barthel's beer gives cheer."
Yes.
Woo!
Okay, so right across from that is the competition's ad. It says, "Bock Beer Day. Arctic Brewing Company's genuine Bock beer. The beer that made Carrie Nation put away her hatchet, sold in bottles or kegs."
the beer wars of 1909 in Fairbanks. Oh.
Yes. So then the Arctic Brewery, they even tried to take this locally produced a little bit further, and they were going to have Billy Casey grow barley for them. So they wanted to use locally produced barley. But their money ran out, and Herman Barthel in 1910 bought out the brewery, So then he was king of Fairbanks Brewing.
He was the master brewer.
He had it all, yes. And
But he also had the biggest investment originally. He had a big location. And
yes.
What got me was their storage. They had this dugout where they would store their river ice.
Yes.
In the summer to keep the beer cold.
Yes.
To keep it on ice. And they would harvest Chena River ice, stored underground, right next to the, in that same area where basically the Tanachi's building is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yes. And it was a huge building. It was one of the biggest buildings in Fairbanks.
You know, four stories tall. How many people, Mount McKinley Bank, Key Bank are four stories tall.
Mm-hmm.
The Polaris Building and the Northward Building are taller, and that's it.
And they had their own power generation. It all was steam. It ran on Pennsylvania boilers. They had a couple of them in there.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
They went through, 250 cords of wood a year for heating and cooling?
Yes. Yes. And he had a production rate that would have supplied a major city, much bigger than Fairbanks. Fairbanks was not much more than a big town.
His production rate was one beer per person per day.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So Barthel's ended up buying all of it. And I'll read the poem in the last segment. There was a poem written about him. But so he took over the Arctic Brewery and still operated that brewery, too, because then he had two of them going at the same time. The Arctic one was the one that's over downstream from the Roar Energy plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started supplying Iditarod.
Okay.
So he decided that the Arctic Brewery would, after the Iditarod strike, would be disassembled and sent to Iditarod. But they set it up and it burned.
Oh, boy.
But even after that, Barthel was exporting his product from Fairbanks to Iditarod. And
interior.
Yes.
And wherever there was a location to get it with a steamer, that's where it went.
Yes. And he amazing.
Yeah.
He really made a niche for himself with his locally produced product.
But if you look at the people back then, Fairbanks was self-contained.
Yes.
There was no, Sears and Roebuck once a year ordering came in. Things like that.
His main imported product that was his main competition was ABC beer that the Northern Commercial Company was bringing in and distributing, and they wanted to put Herman out of business. But Herman marketed, he was so effective at marketing that they didn't stand a chance.
You saw the ad wars.
But the imported beers that we had Budweiser.
Mm-hmm. Miller.
We had, I think Miller came about a little bit later on. We had Rainier. We had Budweiser. I believe we had Olympia real early on. So we had some of those major brands.
The ones bottled and brewed in Washington, basically.
Yeah, but they weren't as good as Barthel's,
You know, everyone has their own taste, and I'm sure I would have been a Barthel's fan.
I'm sure I would have been, too. So Barthel's came to a sad end because everybody got behind the Prohibition movement.
Oh.
And enough people voted for that.
Oh.
And so they took the brewery and they converted it into, they made soda, which wasn't really economically that
viable. This is a mining town.
This
is a mining town. You're not going to get,
So there was still plenty of beer around Fairbanks, though, but it wasn't being produced in a brewery with scientific methods and craftsmanship. It was homebrew that was made,
Tell about what happened on the last beer run, so to speak, into the river.
They closed it. Now, I'm not real sure on part of this story because we prohibition enacted here in Fairbanks on January 1st, so this would have had to have happened later. But they set up it was a sluice, you know, a box that ran down to the river, and they dumped all the vats of beer into that sluice, and all the men and boys in town lined up with cups, and they took their last drinks as the beer ran into the Chena River, because you couldn't have that due to prohibition.
Well, let's see something here. Joanne Wold.
Yes.
Sigwald's daughter.
Yes.
1977 article. I believe she said that... where's that portion?
But it was illegal to sell it. I think what they had to do is they had to wait till breakup before they could empty the vats.
Yeah.
And so they did it like at breakup. And everybody that loved beer showed up that day and took their last drink, you know. And it's kind of sad when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was going to be no more Barthel's beer.
Here we go. A certain Fairbanks resident who was a teenager at the time remembers well the day the marshals came and closed Barthel's. All the kegs and vats of beer were dumped into a sluice box and poured into the Chena River. Everyone, mostly the boys and men, sit on the riverbank with their mug in their hand, drinking from the flowing river of beer as fast as they could.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you call it. That's last call.
Thankfully, in 1933, prohibition ended. Common sense prevailed, and we could have breweries again.
And Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
If you are distressed about a decision you have made in the past, talking about it can help. Whether your abortion was last month, last year, even 30 years ago, it can still affect you today. Take the first step to healing. The PATH program is offered without charge by the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, providing a safe and confidential place to find healing. Call the Hope Line for more information about PATH meeting times. Call 907-455-8258 or visit findoutfree.com. Find Out Free.
The end of the road is only a suggestion if you have the right tire. The Bridgestone Dueler AT Revo 3 from GCR Tires and Service. One tire for all of Alaska's year-round driving conditions. For the AT Revo 3, the road is where you find it. Balancing uncompromising off-the-road performance with its quietly controlled and civilized ride on the road. For your light truck, SUV, and CUV, the AT Revo 3. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn. Hornet Cushman.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Hunting, camping, fishing, hiking. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR Weather.
Look for a slight chance of snow and freezing rain this afternoon, then partly sunny with a high near 23 degrees today. Snow is likely tonight, mainly after midnight, lows around 13 degrees. As we look at tomorrow for Thanksgiving, snow likely mainly before noon, mostly cloudy with highs near 19 above, lows tomorrow night around 2 below, and Black Friday calling for partly sunny with a high near 11. And that's your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prues and Joni Skillbred here, talking history of Fairbanks, talking the history of beer breweries in Fairbanks.
Woohoo!
And we just got the prohibition, the Volstead Act,
it was repealed.
Yeah. Okay, now we're coming out of it.
Yes.
Common sense takes place.
It's time to party on. Yes. So in 1933, the prohibition ended, and the very first brewery to be formed was the by George Weber. Yes, and it was the Fairbanks Brewers Association.
You know, it's interesting. We've gone through so many things of early Fairbanks history. And we come across George Weber so often.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those patriarchs of early Fairbanks.
He was involved in the brewing business with Herman Barthel, went back to the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yes. He liked beer and brewing and
business
of beer.
Yeah.
Yes. So they organized, their offices were in the Empress building, where the Empress Theater Co-op Plaza today. And they did a refurbish on the old Barthel Brewery, and they modernized it, and they started producing Gold Belt beer. And so that was the first post-prohibition beer locally produced in Fairbanks. And Gold Belt was produced from 1934 to 1935.
Not a long life.
No. Well, they had a problem with fire.
I saw that.
Yes. So they turned out the first legalized beer. And they had nice ads, not as fun as Barthel's, but inviting. And they would have receptions held at the brewery. So you could go and have beer and pretzels and tour the brewery and all of that. And that was pretty popular.
And that's what got me. When they opened up the brewery, it was beer and pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they still do that to this day. It's a German, yes. It's a German way of having beer with your pretzel, or having a pretzel with your beer.
Yes. And they were still using the old wells, you know, mm-hmm. So the Gold Belt was beer to die for. Ba-dum-bum-bum. And then the brewery was a total loss. The fire it was devastating. And in 1935, it was in September, it did have $23,000 worth of insurance, but the loss was calculated to be $70,000. And it burned the brewery to the ground. Yeah. So that was done with. Then came the Pioneer Brewing Company. And they were over where the Borough Building is today.
Yeah, they're over in Brandt Homestead.
Yeah, and they had like a 2.5-story, 3-story building, pretty good-sized building.
Along the river.
Along the river, yes. And they produced Midnight Sun beer. And they produced that beer from 1934 to 1937, and that was a favorite local brand. And they advertised, you know, buy local, keep the money at home. And, you know, they were, like I say, very popular until they shut down. And that was, you know, it was very tough to compete once the railroad was up and running and modern transportation and everything else. You know, they just couldn't compete with the imports any longer.
No.
That building burned down later on. It burned down, I don't remember now. Anyway, the building many
about
years
1938,
later burned,
I think.
Burned to the ground.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if that was an insurance scam.
It could have been.
Because they went out of business, and then later on, the magic torch happened.
Yes. There's an original Midnight Sun beer label, though, that the Pioneer Museum has on display.
Well, you brought in a couple older beer bottles with labels that you made.
Reproduction labels.
Yeah, those are really nice. Yeah.
Yes.
And you did that for the Pioneers.
I did it for a mug-up dinner for the Pioneers, which if you've never been to a Pioneer event, boy, I feel sorry for you.
Exactly,
you know, they're a lot of fun.
A lot of personality there.
So I wanted to close with this poem that was written about Barthel's beer, and it was published in the Miners Union Bulletin in 1910. And it says, "All you who long for pleasure and thirst for lager beer that drives away all trouble and fills the heart with cheer, lay aside your pick and shovel to enjoy a day or two, for in the town of Fairbanks they make a first-class brew. The water clear as crystal is pumped from far below. The hops are of the choicest kind that in Bavaria grow. The malt is made from barley, no better ever grew. And from 40 years experience, Barthel can make the brew. And mix them in proportion, for to make a liquor clear that will drive away all sorrow and fill the heart with cheer. No drugs or bad material that will cause your head to ache, your stomach to have nausea, or your nerves with poison shake. The market has no better beer. It's wholesome, bright, and clear. It's the product of the Tanana, the land we all hold dear. Drink a health to old Gambrinus and jolly Bacchus, too, with the beer that is made by Barthel on the banks of Chena Slough. Through summer days of scorching sun or winter's piercing cold, the weary miner of the Tanana will enjoy the flowing bowl. 'Twill cheer the sinking spirit and drive the dull care away and make brighter the surroundings of every gloomy day. When through with weary wandering, the story we can tell of the beer we had in Fairbanks that was made by H. Barthel. I thought that was so cute.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Makes me want to have some.
Robert Service, you got nothing on this.
Yes. I don't know who wrote it. It didn't say. Oh.
Very appropriate for today's show.
Yes.
You know, it always gets me how Fairbanks as a community has this manufactured what they've always needed, and especially in early days. I have a feeling that once the railroad got here, the economics probably left of having a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays we have, you know, your what I call the petite breweries that are your Hoodoo, your Black Spruce,
yes.
Silver Gulch, things like that.
There's a new one going in on the Steese. I saw it coming in 65 something like that. Yeah,
that's being put in there by Zeb Mabee and his investors.
Well, I hope some of these brewers in Fairbanks have listened to this, and you know they're following a fine tradition.
You know, in the mid 90s, I got involved and I changed brewing in Alaska. I really did. You could have at that time, you could only manufacture for on-site consumption 12,900 gallons per year, a brew pub. Mm-hmm. That was it. So I was looking at starting a brew pub here in Fairbanks, and this stops everyone. So I said, hold it, I got to change this. So I found out who the head of the ABC board, the executive director of the ABC board, the guy who hired him, introduced me. And I said, I'm looking at making a brew pub in Fairbanks, and I need to change the amount of beer. And he goes, well, I'm putting in some legislation. What's the number you need? You know, I was trying to tell him everything, but I just wanted to know the number. And I said, make it so we never have to change it again, 75,000 gallons. He goes, done. within 5 years, they had to move it up to 250,000 gallons. But that's how it started. Just me saying to myself, I'm going to look at doing this, and had to change the law. And boom, it's flourished since. So yeah. I had a little bit of input in this.
Well, I grew up, my dad used to make beer. And I grew up, I was daddy's girl, and I grew up making beer. So I was always, you know, I thought this was a great subject.
Joni, you have a great Thanksgiving. Fairbanks, you have a great Thanksgiving. I will see you on Monday where I have Mr. Butcher, the CEO of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, with me. And I'll see you on Monday.